Hello and welcome to Small Wins, episode 31. I am your host, Yvan Delia-Lavictoire, and we're I think in our last stretch of 2023, and I'm very excited, but mostly I think like many of us, excited to get started in 2024. I think it's that weird period of the year where you're just, I wouldn't say really like happy or relieved that the year has ended, but you're kind of already. And well, my personal take on it is that I'm already kind of done with 2023 and I want to move on. I know that, you know, the 31st of December and the 1st of January is just they're just two dates. But it's always that weird time where you're just looking back on the year, looking back on what you did, what you didn't do, and then moving on to the new year where you have this sense of excitement, sense of positive outlook on what's happening. So in that sense, if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, have a listen to it. Episode 30 is all about me sharing my wins for the year 2023. And the previous episode before that, so episode 29, was me sharing some L's, some lessons from the year. So in that sense, in this episode, so episode 31 today, we're going to be actually answering a question from the audience, from a member that we received a few weeks ago. And it's really interesting because it is a reflection that have been having for myself with Lavi. And the question goes as follows. So the I versus we debate. In your experience, does making the admin or founder transparent help or hurt when building a football brand? So I think in the direction that we're going to be taking for this episode is understanding maybe the nuances between personal branding and just global or regular branding. From a sport perspective, I think that's very interesting because we are deep in a big, big era where the creator economy is kind of taking over. And I think from a sporting perspective, we're seeing a lot more maybe in between where you're building a brand, but you're very visible in building that brand, or you're going in a maybe personal brand aspect and then using kind of or leveraging kind of that personal brand to build brands in football. So before we maybe address that question, I just want to clarify that first of all, there aren't no bad ways to create a brand. I think there's the personal brand is a great way to build, you know, to get started off really quickly. And then the global like classic brand is also a great way to kind of, you know, build something that's a bit more, I wouldn't say structured because both are really structured, but to build this maybe solid foundation in football. So before, I think the question goes like, does making the admin founder transparent help or hurt when building a football brand? I think we'll address that. But like I said, I don't think there aren't any, you know, hurt. You know, the word hurt is might be sharing kind of a weird, you know, a disconnected look on the brand's values versus the personal values. So I think we'll address that. But essentially, before we get into that, I just want to clarify, you know, the I versus we conversation. So just to give you a quick summary. So the I is basically the personal brand where the brand owner, the brand founder is literally the face of the brand. The messaging, the values, the content that is being pushed out is conveyed and probably, you know, done by the founder. So in a way, kind of everything is centered around that person and around what they represent in or what they want to represent in football. So it can be showcasing personal journeys, maybe insights into the game of football. And in most cases, is really building that individual connection with the sport and how it drives, you know, their passion forward. I think from a, you know, we perspective, it is really the classic kind of the brand in itself. So even if it's one person that's launching it, the brand is very, very detached from the founder. Maybe there are going to be influences and kind of values being driven by the founder into the brand. But essentially, you're able to build a brand that's more of, you know, a collective approach, kind of building something that's a bit larger. So I think I'm going to throw in the fancy word of community in there. So you're building something that's a bit broader where people don't really know who the founder is, and they don't really need to know who the founder is. They're connecting with that brand because of what it represents in the space. So obviously, there's probably going to be a less a bit less kind of that direct connection with the audience between the founder and the people that are connecting to the brand. But essentially, that can be kind of your classic clothing line, the store, an agency even. You're seeing a lot of those, but a curated kind of look on football or account that's being managed, a kind of showcasing multiple angles or multiple stories from the game and just building it under the same kind of umbrella of that brand. It can also feature individual stories within the community. So you're building that space for others to share their stories, and you're kind of the one building or again, curating those stories into a brand. So I think that's kind of the big differences between the two. The benefits of personal branding, I would say, like, are around kind of that building, that personal connection, that personal authentic look and relationship between the founder and the audience. It's much, much easier to be building that trust also with the audience, developing that real, you know, real relationship, that real relatable relationship with others. I think it's something that is much, much easier done when you're building a personal brand. From a communication point of view, it's much also, you know, it's much easier to create that, not looking for, is it, I wouldn't say intimacy, but like, yeah, the direct relationship with that audience. I can't find a better word, but essentially that looks like, you know, responding to emails from your own kind of personal point of view. You're responding to comments. You're even DMing the founder, and there's this direct connection. And, you know, you're able to share personal experiences as well. So I think from a relatability point of view, it's amazing. It's amazing because you're getting, you know, you're someone is talking, and as a, you know, member of the audience looking at it, and you're, you know, immediately engaging with this type of messaging because you've been in that position, or you are experiencing that situation, or I'll give you an example. If someone is sharing, a personal brand is sharing a moment about a team that I enjoy, going back in a certain time, I mean, I'll connect to that person immediately because I have relation to what that person is saying. So it is something that's much, I think, easier said when you're a personal brand. But again, I think when you have a brand itself, there's ways that you can kind of build trust around even a collective brand. I don't think it's necessarily harder, you know, it's not necessarily harder, but it's not something that is impossible when you're building a collective brand as well. So let's jump into maybe the pros of building a collective brand, or we approach is really, I think when it comes down to creating a community or, you know, collaboration mindset, I think having that brand is much, much easier. You're able to highlight kind of the collective effort, or if you're building with a team, you're definitely in a better position to highlight the values of teamwork and collaboration. And I think one, I would say, big advantage or benefit of building from a collective approach is, in a way, you're appealing to a broader audience. I think if you're able to remove your personal kind of ego to the brand, you might be able to reach out to others who are sharing kind of a, you know, have this shared identity values with the brand values in itself. So again, you know, having a personal brand doesn't mean that you'll have a smaller audience. Having a, you know, weak kind of collective brand doesn't mean that you'll have, you know, an immense audience, but it is giving you maybe a better push into a bigger space in a sense. Like I said, no, there aren't any kind of right way to approach it. I think it's about you understanding what you want to be representing as a brand. Obviously, if you are building a collective, if you are building a brand, if you are building kind of a package service with others, then yes, I think the we perspective is the way to go. But, you know, I think you want to be open-minded about showcasing the individuals within the collective or the group that you're building. I think that is kind of your hybrid way of going. And I think that's something that we've noticed and that is out there. And you're seeing, you know, if I can give examples, you're seeing podcasts that involve multiple people that all you know, have different maybe values and messaging angles that they have, but essentially within the brand, they are also able to share their own perspective inside of the brand's kind of like ecosystem. Another example would be maybe, you know, I think I mentioned podcast, but there's also maybe I'm trying to think, yeah, like a Wii brand. So like, sorry, I'm thinking out loud as I'm talking, but essentially like a Wii brand can have people that are featured within the brand. So maybe not the founder or maybe not the admin, but people that are operating the brand or helping operate the brand that can help convey the brand's messaging. That's also a big benefit. When it comes to the founder and the admin of the brand, I do believe that when you're building from a we perspective, so a collective perspective, you want to have the founder come out when it's necessary, maybe announcements, developments, something that is kind of a big, like I would say major pillars, but important pillars that are being showcased. I wouldn't say to not be present. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily going to hurt your brand as a whole, but I think that reflection might require you to understand, what the founder is bringing to the table when it comes to messaging for or conveying a message for the brand. I think it's important to understand that. So when it comes to kind of understanding or having considerations for that, you might, it's very cliche, but understanding your audience is kind of the number one thing, is what they're looking for, what their preferences are, how they connect, evaluating if they connect more with that personal touch or the collective identity that your brand represents. Knowing your brand values is another one. I think it's very important. The brand has its own kind of ecosystem and set of values. And yes, the founder and the admins are going to kind of influence some of the values, but essentially when it comes to messaging, when it comes to having your founder visible, with your brand, it's really about your founder aligning with the brand values and maybe not vice versa. Number three is understanding, what type of stories and contributions you want to be having as a founder within the brand. I think sometimes maybe the ego kicks in, maybe the fame kicks in, but essentially if you're building a brand and you're noticing that, you're getting leverage and you're getting kind of like eyeballs on the brand, you definitely want to be showcasing that you are involved in the brand somehow. So really, really getting very, very clear about why, what the brand stands for and why you're doing this. Obviously, if it's for ego, it's for your own kind of personal journey, then maybe you should have a reflection on, building a personal brand that's going to help you do that. And really building a collective brand that's helping, reach certain objectives that you have as a collective. And in sense of, I think, yeah, and so I don't know. So I'm trying to think again, but if I can give an example of my own journey, I launched an agency in 2016 with, at the time I had an associate, and it was something that I think over time I realized that the I and we approach is something that was very, very kind of under the radar for me. But as I kept moving in that space, I realized that I think it was a definite big challenge. So despite the fact that kind of it was a small kind of operation, it was me and my associate, like I said, we built a brand around kind of the agency model, around the sports, content creation, digital marketing space. And we weren't really visible online. Yes, we were, like, we both knew that we were involved in the brand in a sense. And the work we did and the clients we signed were because of who we were as individuals and what we represented. But I think as the brand kept moving, what we realized is, when people approach us, they approach us because they knew who we are, who we were, and they trusted us. So it was kind of in a way of a, it was kind of two, I wouldn't say two personal brands, but it was like a personal brand that was being maybe decorated with a collective brand approach. So I don't know if that's helping you in any way, but I think in a sense, I realized quickly that, at some point that the personal brand in itself was a bit more powerful than the collective brand. So it was a definite challenge that we had over time. And if I look now to the La Victoire FC story, it is very similar in the sense that the biggest challenge that I ran into 2023 was deciding whether or not La Victoire FC should be a personal brand or a global brand. When it started, there were elements that showcased kind of a bigger, larger brand in a way. But I think the biggest challenge I ran into was that I was the face of the brand for a long, long time. And building a community, although it was a good idea, I think as a personal brand, it was very, very hard to build a collective community. So having that reflection is something that I've had for a couple of years now, since 2016. And it's an ongoing process. I think based on where you want to go, based on what your next idea is, you want to have that reflection. But essentially, the challenge I am facing now is deciding whether or not La Victoire versus Yvan should be, not versus, but how do I manage the two and how do I balance the two so it's beneficial also. So I think to go back on the question, so I'll repeat it because it's a bit of a long question. But in your experience, does making the founder transparent help or hurt when building a brand? It doesn't hurt. I don't think it necessarily hurts. If you want to help the football brand, I think the founder or the team around the brand should really get clear on what the founder or the admins are bringing to the table. So I wouldn't see, sometimes I've seen brands that feature the founder a little too much, where it's, you're definitely seeing kind of the ego kick in a little, and it's totally normal. But, it doesn't really amplify the brand in itself. But, if the founder has multiple brands, if the founder has, manages multiple brands, then I would recommend the founder to have its own, their own personal space and brand that showcases the different brands that they're working on. I think that might be a great way to showcase that. And then the brand in itself should live on its own. So we've seen kind of brands evolve and change founders and change admins. So I think in that sense, again, being very, very clear on the messaging or the ways that the founder is showcasing itself, themselves on the brand platforms is very key. You don't want to, at that sense, you don't want to improvise too much, if I can say it that way. Whereas I think a personal brand, you can definitely be more maybe flexible and more freestyle in the way that you're building your messaging. But yeah, so that would be probably my final answer. But to go back, there aren't any cons in, I think, having kind of a slight or a light personal touch to a collective brand. I don't know if that helps your answer. Just to go back, maybe to recap, I would say pros or the benefits of having a personal brand is definitely around building personal connection with your audience, kind of sharing your passion, your building trust also, and then building this relatability between you and the audience. You're also able to create or establish direct relationship with your audience as well. The pros of building from a we perspective, from a collective brand, is you're able to create and foster community in a much, much easier way. You can highlight the principles of collaborations within your community. So if you have a space where you're creating content, I've seen a lot of those. As a brand, it's much, much easier to kind of showcase that. And in some cases, or in most cases, I'll debate that after, but you're appealing potentially to a broader audience as a brand. So things to consider when you're debating between the I and the we is knowing and understanding who your audience is, defining and aligning with your brand values. If you have a collective, or if you're thinking of building a collective brand, define how you are going to be sharing individuals and their stories within the brand ecosystem. So that's it for me. I hope this was helpful in your own reflection and thinking about how you want to be deciding how transparent or how visible your founder or your founders are going to be in a collective brand. I'll also be having that same debate over the next couple of weeks. So if you have any insights or any maybe personal experiences to share, by all means, you can DM me on Instagram or even send me an email if you get these from the newsletter. So hope this was helpful. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I know the new year is coming very soon, but essentially we'll have an episode every week during the vacation. So if you want to catch up, if you want to maybe look back at some of the previous episodes, I highly recommend that. I know some of us will be off or have a bit of time off during the holidays. So first of all, definitely take the time to disconnect, to enjoy time with friends, family, with yourself, just relaxing, just making sure that you are also enjoying your football journey as a whole. But if you have a few minutes here and there, go back on the episode, see what you'd like, take what you need, and I'll be seeing you and we'll be talking to each other over the next couple of weeks as usual. So thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you left a review or a star rating on your podcast platform. First of all, it's very motivating for me. And second of all, it is a great way for others to discover this podcast and start building their own story with the game that we all love. So thank you for listening. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy your football journey and don't forget to celebrate all your small wins. Take care.